Reconnect and heal today. Welcome to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf.
Hello and welcome to Love Never Dies. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, founder of AskDrLove.com, the web's first relationship advice site since 1995, and host of Ask Dr. Love Radio. I am talking with my beloved Pavel Michalowski. He's one of the few grassroots marketing, publicity, and promotional experts who specializes in both the U.S. and U.K. body, mind, spirit, personal development, and heart-centered business markets. And Pavel's clients have included the top transformational luminaries of our time. You really walk the walk. You believe marketing has to be driven by a deep sense of service to society, and you serve your clients and humanity first and foremost. That's what you do. And your whole belief is that success in marketing only comes from being in alignment with this higher purpose. So today I really wanted to talk with you and help all our listeners understand how to come from this place of service and how this is your secret to marketing any message, any ministry successfully. So maybe you could just start by describing what you do that's so different. We could, you know, learn from you and then practice a little bit of what you do.
I think what I do is a bit more of the long game, whereas a lot of people are trying to make a quick buck out there and they don't really care about relationship building. They use a lot of manipulative techniques that they try to get people to use. And what I found, what boils down to, is just connection with people. And people in marketing and publicity, like I am, we tend to help connect people to people. We open doors for authors and filmmakers and the creative people. We want them to be seen in their best light. And so we help to bring their message in ways that the marketers who are just going for the quick fix, we can do it in ways they can't, because people are on the lookout for that sort of thing. They don't want to be around it. They don't like the energy of it, especially heart-centered entrepreneurs, people that tend to be more sensitive. They come from a more loving place. They automatically feel repelled by all of that. And so what I do is from many, many years of doing this, I have connections all over the world for people, and I can open doors for them that they just don't even know exist.
That's very true. And you always go above and beyond. I mean, you've been my marketer for many, many years, and what I see is because you are coming from your heart and really wanting to bring out my message and ministry, you always over-deliver. You open up, you know, avenues and areas that aren't even in the contract. You just do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it boils down to love, you know. I mean, you and I love each other. And when you love someone and you love their message and you believe in their message, you want the best for them. So basically, it seems like all my clients become friends because...
Absolutely.
It really is like the best kind of relationship. When two people are working together toward a common vision, it's a really kind of electric connection, you know? I wish more marriages were like that.
Yeah. You took the words right out of my mouth, because, you know, we talk about when you have a marriage, doesn't matter whether it's a gay or a straight marriage, there's a synergy of the two people's energies combined that produces exponential reverberations out into the ethos.
Well, you're an expert on that for sure. I mean,
yeah.
Through, you know, especially through your current, what's going on with you currently in your own relationship, and that common vision, you know, that alignment from spirit is just... It's the most important thing in relationship, you know?
And, you know, really what we're talking about is living heaven now. And when you live heaven, you're living love. And love isn't about bean counting or quantifying. You know, most publicity agents and agencies, they give you a contract, and they never promise any outcome, and often you don't get any outcome. They're just not coming from the place of love and service. Mm-hmm. And because everything you do comes from that place of love, much more than you ever could have imagined unfolds, and miraculous things unfold. Like, remember a month or so ago, I was speaking to somebody who arrived at my house here in Florida, and I was describing how energetically my husband in spirit, John, sends the people to me who need help reconnecting with their loved ones in spirit. At that very moment, you were on the phone talking to 1440 about how I do this and how Sean sends people. We had this synchronicity happening at that moment. Remember?
Yep. That happens a lot with us. And mm-hmm. I have found that Sean works with me directly sometimes. I mean,
yes.
First of all, I feel like he brought us together. I know you feel that too.
Oh, yes.
And I feel like he's got assignments for me that actually, some of them are things I don't even do right now, but things that I grow to.
You know? Let's talk about love, because when you love, you stretch beyond what is your comfort zone.
Yes, yes. And I've seen him do that with you too, where...
Oh, please. I got stretch marks in my soul, Mort. Oh my God!
Chapter in your next book.
Oh my God! Oh, every now and then, yeah. So sorry about that.
With synchronicity, I mean, remember how we were just talking yesterday, and boom, there came the title of your next book. It just was obvious to me. And
oh yeah.
I mean, and we went online to see if anyone had claimed that title.
Correction, you went online because you always over-deliver.
Yeah, and we found that, you know, it hadn't really been used. It had just been used in a book years ago.
Which is, if you think about it, that is wild, because most of the information that we get is channeled from spirit. And nothing is really new, because if you're really listening and tuning in correctly, it's all very much the same. So the fact that this title has not been in use is quite extraordinary to me, that it's some piece of such high vibration that nobody's channeled it yet.
Right. Usually you go when you get an idea for a title, and you look, and there's like already been 5 books with that name.
Exactly.
But not
or hundreds.
Mm-hmm. Yep, hundreds. Yep.
In fact, Love Never Dies had so many. Hay House tried to get me to not use the title. Mm-hmm. But Jean told me that's what he wanted, so, you know.
Perfect, yeah. Well, the work I do now, I concentrate on getting people on radio and podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been at it for a long time, so I have lots and lots of contacts.
Amazing.
I kind of got into it before the current podcast explosion.
Yes.
Especially now with the millennial generation, so many of them coming up the ranks have podcasts. And
yeah.
I stay in touch with these people, I connect them. And what I do on my end, I treat them like clients too. So for example, I'll let them know, hey, if you ever get in a bind and you don't have someone at the last minute, call me. I can get you someone who's really good quality.
You see, you do that. You make relationships. You're always serving others. And so then the outlets, the podcasts, the radio shows are indebted to you. So it's then easy for you to get people on because they owe you a favor.
Exactly. And I don't do it tit for tat. You know, it's
no, you don't.
You really owe me something here. It's not like that at all.
No, it just happens.
It just happens because I've got their best interests in mind, too. I want them to be successful, and I want to help them in any way I can.
So do you realize what you're doing is you are mirroring in the way you operate and in the way you function. You are mirroring the method and the message. You're living it.
Well, I thought this was normal, but I realize every time I get a new client who's actually worked with a big publicity agency, I always hear that, well, I spent all this money, and I got one or two interviews, you know.
I know.
Whereas I get them pages and pages of interviews, and
right.
It costs a lot less, you know. So
yes, you do.
It always mystifies me. I said, what are these people doing when they, in these big agencies? And I think what happens, a lot of times they'll get the account, they'll give it to a junior person who's just, you know, starting out with them. And, you know, they troll around the internet trying to get some shows for them. But
that's very true.
There's no calls, there's no follow-through, there's no relationship that's been built.
That is so true. That's so true. You know, did I ever tell you my horror story when I published Till Death Do Us Part Unless I Kill You First? It was published by the New York City House, Henry Holt & Company. So they had an internal publicity team, and they put me on the Jenny Jones show.
Okay.
Did I ever tell you about this?
No, tell me.
Oh my gosh. Now, I had never watched daytime TV, so I didn't know what Jenny Jones was. She was like the counterpart of Jerry Springer.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me, oh, it's a very serious show. It's a very serious show. So I fly to Chicago. Now, I've never admitted this on air. I always had terrible stage fright. I mean,
really?
Bad. Yes, I don't even know if I ever told you that. It was
that surprises
bad.
Me. You're the Barbara Streisand of the personal development world then.
I'm still here. No, right. But the truth is, I'm telling you, pathologically bad. I mean, really bad, to where if I had been one to take meds, I would have needed meds. We're talking full-blown panic, heart racing, insomnia. Bad, terrible television appearance phobia. But I would make myself go. By the way, I got cured of this when Jean left his body. Isn't that fascinating?
Really?
We talk about how our loved ones in spirit really help us in every way. And, you know, he just eliminated it from me because he knew I was going to have to do a lot of appearances. Gone, you know? So, but this was before. So I fly to Chicago, and I'm waiting in the green room, and I now think I'm going to have a nervous breakdown when I hear the people on the show that they're doing live before mine screaming at each other and punching each other and the police hauling them off the stage. And I'm on the phone with Jean hyperventilating. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I can't go on. I can't do this.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so finally I go on. And they said to the publisher, we want her to talk to the panel. And the panel that I was working with was these people who had slept with, he had slept with my wife's sister or my husband's brother. I mean, it was just incest, people cheating on their spouses. And I was so upset by the behavior, I didn't even want to talk to the panel. I was just, I'm not even going to talk to you about this. And all of a sudden, the entire audience, which was as large as a football stadium, started booing me on live TV.
Huh.
Booing me. So Jenny said to me, oh, they don't like what you're saying, because I was talking about impulse control and how you have to control yourself. Keep it in your pants. You know? And so they booed me. And I said, well, they can keep hanging each other up by the family jewels. You see where it's gotten them. And they literally stopped the show and threw me off the stage.
Oh, my God.
On live TV.
I'd love
it was terrible.
The tape of this.
And I'm still here. But
I'm still
you would have never put me on that show. I mean, talk about a mismatch. You put people on shows that fit them as well.
Exactly. And I do a lot of research to find out what shows. I don't focus on television. I do radio and podcasts mostly right now. And also help people get live events to speak at.
Right.
And, I do a lot of research when I have to listen to a few of the shows to know kind of and see who some of the past guests have been to see if it's a good fit. And sometimes they'll surprise you. I just, you can also take an author who has written a book that may not be a good fit and find ways to craft a series of questions that they can ask that will make for an interesting show for their audience. to adapt the message a bit. We did that recently with one of my British authors who got on Coast to Coast AM, which is one of the largest, you know, radio shows in the country. I think there's over 9 million listeners.
Yeah.
So if you get an author on that show, their book is guaranteed to become a bestseller, to rise to the top of the Amazon ranking.
Mm-hmm.
And which did happen. And but what we did, it was a kind of more of a mainstream title, and we just sort of shifted a little and gave a paranormal angle to it because the show is more paranormal, conspiracy theories, more alternative. So we fit a mainstream book in an alternative slot in a very crafted way, and they loved it. You know, so it worked very well. So you're not limited to just what's in your book when you're being promoted. You can
When you're being promoted by you, because you do that work. I've never known anybody. I mean, it's beyond what a publicist or a marketer would do. This is what a beloved friend does. I mean, look, I'm just going to say this. We're not even working together now, and you still listen to my things. You listened to my webinar that I did last week, which ran for 3 hours. You listened to the whole thing. Who does that?
Right.
You know?
We're not working together. I've helped to negotiate a contract for you today.
I know, because of the way it worked out, that they happened to reach out to you because they knew you had been working with me, and so you were just, well, I'm not going to let you hang out to dry, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, you find, too, young people coming up should really pay attention to the fact that also clients you've worked with in the past, if you've got a good relationship with them, they'll come back to you again and again.
Yes.
I know, you know, the next book you have out, you'll have me helping to promote you for it. So I keep the relationship going in the meantime, too, which is easy with you, Jamie, because we're friends. You know, not a client as a friend, but I watch out for past clients, too. If I find out, like, there's a speaking gig in Glastonbury, you know, they want a woman, and they don't want to pay for a flight from the States, I rack my brain to think of what women I know in the right categories would work for that conference. And by doing that, by opening that door, I've made a nice connection not only with the female speaker, who I may not know, she may not know me, but I've opened a door for her, and the runner of the festival is really happy that I was a resource for him when he was kind of in need of something.
I just realized something, Mort. You're a monk. What can I say? You're a monk. You're the only Jewish monk, Mort. So this is it's true, because when I listen to you talk, you remind me of Jean. Jean was a monk his whole life. He was a Jesuit priest. He was a monk. And he lived in service to others. Everything he did. This is why he brought us together, because your vibration is the same as his.
Well, this might explain a lot if I'm a monk, because that's why I don't do interviews. Monks are not...
No, you live in monastic solitude.
Yeah, there you go.
And silence.
It's kind of the way I like it, to be honest.
That is part of being a monk. But a monk, you know, most people, when they give to the level that you give, deep down they're bitter, they're depleted. I'll hear it. You know, I had a patient who's now in spirit who was describing how she gave, and it burned her out. And I said, you know, when you give and you're burned out, you're giving for the wrong reason, because most people give with an unconscious hook. They're thinking, after all that I do for you, you're going to give back to me. You're going to see by my demonstration what I truly want and give back to me. And then when you don't get the point and you don't give back to me, I feel empty. But that's obviously not the right kind of, but you know, place that you're coming from in the giving. You give in the highest way, and the giving rejuvenates you. It's like a well. You pump, and more water is flowing into the well.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. A lot of people that get involved with causes and they give, and they become very strident because it's not connected. You know, it's an ideal they're going after.
I
do think that I have to watch for burnout because I do all my work myself. And also, publicity work has been recognized as an industry. Publicists are one of the professions, I think, right after air traffic controllers that can lead to more burnout. And I know a lot of publicity people, a lot of publicists who...
Wait a minute. You're saying the first burnout is air traffic control. The second is publicity.
Yeah.
You mean, I thought it was proctology. No. Oh, God. I don't know where that came from.
Might be a different kind of burnout. I don't know.
Yeah, polyps, right. So I don't, I had no idea on that statistic. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's an older statistic. I don't know if it's still like it was, but I know...
Why not?
...that have left. Once they leave, they leave. They don't want anything more to do with publicity.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's stressful. I do it in a way where, with podcasts and radio, where it's not as bad, people that work in the television area, they get it worse because there's those kind of deadlines. You can have one of your people show up in the green room, and they've all of a sudden been cut for time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of disappointment.
You know, one of the things that I want to talk about, well, there's quite a few, and we'll get to them in our next segment, but one of the things I want to talk about when we come back from break is a topic that most do not discuss, and that is self-sabotage. Because people consciously think, oh, I want to make my book number one. I want to be on the talk stage. But I know that you have experience with clients who hire you and shoot themselves in the proverbial feet. So when we come back, let's talk about that, okay?
Okay.
We'll be back in a moment on Love Never Dies Radio.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For 40 years, Omega has been a gathering place for great thinkers, creative talent, spiritual teachers, and social visionaries. With 390 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Have you seen 1111? Do you wonder why certain numbers keep showing up in your life? 11, 111, 22, 33, 444. People all over the world are seeing 1111 and learning the language of universal communication. Subscribe to 1111 Magazine today, 1111mag.com. 1111 Magazine is a bi-monthly online publication that offers a rich multi-sensory experience. Engage with experts and topics of consciousness. Become enlightened, empowered, and energized so you live a passionate and authentic life of conscious choices. 1111 Magazine, a daily staple for lifting the mindset, expanding the heart, and experiencing greater aliveness. 1111 Magazine. Order now at www.1111mag.com. 1111mag.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
You're listening to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you yearn to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, and even coworkers, Dr. Turndorf's book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about Kiss Your Fights Goodbye at AskDrLove.com. This is Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. This show is for you, the listener. Once again, here's Dr. Turndorf.
Hello again and welcome back to Love Never Dies Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf talking with my beloved Pavel Mikulovsky. You can hear how much we love each other. He is one of the most famous heart-centered publicists and marketers in the world. Pavel made the movie What the Bleep, the third most high grossing documentary in the history of documentaries. He's just an amazing human being. Pavelo, that's my nickname for you. Are you with us?
I'm here.
So, before we took the break, I said I wanted to talk about self-sabotage.
Yes. You know, people want to be, they think they want to be famous. In fact, I'll often get this question from people. They know that Oprah Winfrey has one of the largest platforms for an author, especially in self-help, personal development field that I'm in, spirituality and so forth. And she, I've gotten people on her show before, but it's not been through hammering her producers. It's been by creating a sensation in the world. And it's their job to look for people that have something different, a unique message to offer, a different way of saying something. And they hunt for those people. They look through radio shows. They look through other TV. They look through publications. That's their job.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're making a wave out there, they will find you. And that's exactly how it happened with one author that I work with, who's quite a famous author, has written many books. They reached out. I supplied them the information. It wasn't until 6 months later that we heard from them, and they came to us. So, you know, that people think they want that right away, but are you really ready for that? You know, are you really ready for that level of fame? Because it is, my work is really about making people famous, or more famous than they were anyway. And
that's right.
Yeah, and when you think about it, fame is a unique animal. It is something that we think we want, but you have to really ask yourself, do you want it? And also, are you ready for it? Even Eckhart Tolle, who did an incredible webcast with Oprah, the website crashed. You know, there was too much...
Right, he didn't have the infrastructure in place.
Exactly. So if you're talking about that level of fame, I think it's something you need to build up to, and you've got to have your platform ready to take that kind of attention. So that's one
thing.
Another thing is just what people do unconsciously to sabotage opportunities that I open for them when I realize there's something else going on with this person. They're not as ready as they think they are. Times I've gotten them on major radio, national radio shows, and one client in London who is incredibly punctual. She's just one of those people you can always count on. The only time she ever missed her interview was that morning. She missed the whole hour. I don't know what they did in the meantime to fill the hour, but I think they might have had someone on standby to fill in. And then, of course, she came in the next hour. She got the hour completely wrong. And, of course, it was all spelled out right in front of her. She knew exactly what to do. But somehow, she sabotaged herself.
Exactly. And they say that 95% of everything we do and say and don't do and is motivated by the unconscious. The unconscious drives the bus. So there are no accidents. We don't forget vacation, you know. We don't forget a flight to go and do something we want to do. We unconsciously forget things that we have conflict around.
Right. And another example was someone who I got on a big national radio show, and I reminded them many times, make sure at the end that you mention your upcoming event in the U.S. They only had one lined up for that year, and it was the one that we really needed to pour a lot of attention into. And this person was ready to do that, and of course, completely went blank at the end of the show.
Isn't that amazing? Yep.
Their own event. So I ask people out there that think, and this doesn't just mean for authors and filmmakers, for anybody in any profession that wants to get higher visibility and get more famous, are you really ready for it? And to answer that question for yourself very sincerely, and also, if you know that you're not ready for full-on national fame, then you can build your fame bit by bit. You can work up to it. And that's what I recommend a lot of people do, because most people just aren't ready.
And this way you're able to gradually work through whatever the resistance is to your fame and success are. So you don't jump into the deep end. You start in the kiddie pool.
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting. One thing I want to point out about how you work, because you have done so much personal growth work yourself, that you are extremely emotionally intelligent and evolved. And you don't hesitate to speak to your clients about these emotional impediments. You just do it, but you do it in such a loving way. So, for example, even though we weren't working together anymore, you know how 1440 came to me. It's always best when they come to you. And what's fascinating is they came to me after we were working together, and the programmer was sent, obviously, by the universe to push me into this new direction that I had been percolating, you know, the energetic system upgrade, you know, so that I'm expanding as a healer into this. And this programmer reaches out to you, and you're now on the phone with her talking about her saying, I want to incorporate all her work and her original work, you know, and bringing it all together. So she was asking for this integration, right? Now you get in touch with me. And, you know, you say this is like huge, Jamie. It's the biggest place. They're wanting you. They're offering you dates. They're you know, catering to you. And you said to me, I can feel, Jamie, that you're not jumping on it. You're resistant, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is not like you. You're not responding to my emails as quickly as usual. Remember, you really asked me about this. Mm-hmm. And by asking me, it opened up the door to the conversation that I was exhausted, having moved twice, and I was feeling so burned out that I didn't feel like I had the energy to even travel and do it. But just speaking about it and just freeing myself of that truth helped me to feel more ready, you know, less tired.
It elicited a conversation for us where we said, well, why don't we just cut back this year to one event on the West Coast and one on the East Coast, and not do what you did the year before where you were like everywhere and always
everywhere.
And I thought, well, that's great, because if we just set that as a thing, people can fly their way to you on either coast, and because of the scarcity, meaning you're just not doing as much.
Right.
And those will be nice, full events, and that's where people will have to go to see you. So that's it, and those will fill up. And
absolutely,
that's a much better way to do it than just trying to be everything for everybody and you know, having to travel to so many places.
Speaking of the live versus the online, you know, I did this webinar last week and had 100 people, which is enormous, right? People don't get those show-ups. And yet the in-person workshops seem to be having lower and lower attendance across the board all over the world. Do you think that live workshops are now being overtaken by online events?
I think it's harder to pull people away from their computers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to spend a long weekend or a week somewhere, it's just people aren't doing it as much. So, yeah, there's a lot more online. Having said that, everybody knows there is just nothing like a live in-person experience.
Right.
And those that really do it well, I've worked with some of the top people in the world, they love doing it. And so it's because it's their passion, they create a lot of live events, and they do it in countries all over the world. They have a promoter in each major city.
Mm-hmm.
And they built that. You know, they built that up. I've been part of helping them to build that. And so you do get people who love it. And I think when they're in the element of that and they love it so much, they generate more people, more mm-hmm. transformation, more people happening. But they do, a lot of them do it organically, and they love it. Others don't love it as much, and so, yeah, I think you're right. There is a trend toward less live events.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, you still need to get out there as an author.
You know, there's nothing like being in someone's energy field. And especially if you're doing heart-centered transformational work, there's nothing like it.
Look at what's happened at some of your live events, which I don't know if that could have to that degree.
No, I don't think so, yeah.
Online, you know, I mean.
Oh, like that event that you witnessed when we were in Rhythmia, Costa Rica together.
Yeah.
With a staff member, not even somebody who was in the workshop.
Yeah, I mean, total transformation, that staff member, and that was... That's your gift, you know. Some of that has to be person to person. You just can't do that online, you know.
Right.
When you see someone in person, you get the understanding of their field. You feel their field. You feel what they're about. You feel their sincerity. You feel their ability to love. You feel a lot of things about them that
mm-hmm.
you don't necessarily pick up online. You can't feel into someone to that same degree. Unless they're right in front of you.
Well, the psychic mediums who do readings and distance healings, and they're working over the phone. And so maybe the very gifted can tune into a field at long distance.
Yeah.
But for the average Joe,
right.
It's not as easy.
Well, you're such a catalyst, though. You know, Jamie, I've seen how people transform in your presence. And that's why I encourage you to always have at least an East Coast event and a West Coast event every year.
And okay, Maud, I'll listen to you. I'm listening to you.
Michelle.
What can I say?
On the road again, girl.
It's the Maudie and Shelley show. So, you know, the thing I also wanted to talk about, and this is sort of like shop talk, mm-hmm. when we come back for our last segment, I want to talk about this controversial topic about satellite or terrestrial radio versus podcasts. Because if you remember, a person who shall remain nameless, who reached out to me the day after I did the Coast to Coast radio show, and he, for a time, was my webmaster. And if you recall, he was dissing podcasts, that podcasts are inferior, it's more prestigious to do terrestrial. So I want to hold that question for when we come back in the next segment, okay?
Yeah.
Do you like those cliffhangers, Mort?
Yeah, perfect. Well done.
I figured I gotta do what you asked me to do. A girl's gotta do what her publicist told her to do. You gotta end each segment with a cliffhanger. So hang with us, and we'll be back with you in a moment on Love Never Dies Radio.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Stroll through the garden, relax by the lake, or try a daily yoga or movement class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
You're listening to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you can't stop crying over the bodily loss of a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's number one international bestseller, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, will show you how to toss out the tissues and transform your grief into joy using her groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and even heal unfinished business with those in spirit without the assistance of a medium, channeler, or psychic. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift, a free excerpt of Love Never Dies. And now, back to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf.
Hello again. Welcome back to Love Never Dies Radio. I am talking with my beloved Pavel Mikulovsky, and Pavel's clients that included the top transformational luminaries of our time. And he's the man who was the grassroots marketing director for the film What the Bleep Do We Know, which became a $12 million hit in the U.S. and the third most successful U.S. documentary of all time. So, Pavel, I know I just made your head swell. Come back to it. So we wanted to talk before the break about what that guy, who shall be remain nameless, said when he was dissing podcasts and only terrestrial radio has the cachet. What do you say about this?
Well, that was a popular belief a while back. I think that podcasts have now exceeded terrestrial radio in their popularity. There are shows out there now, like Joe Rogan, I think, has 3 million.
Oh, yeah.
These shows are larger than some TV shows that, you know, so they're really explosive. You can't really discount any podcast now because many of them are growing so quickly. People have discovered they can listen to them in their car, on their smartphone. They can listen to them while they're at the gym, so they're not just, you know, just bored doing their workout.
And
they can learn something along the way. So people have really, especially the millennial generation, has just adopted them. So, no, that's just completely wrong. The other thing is that oftentimes I get clients that say, well, don't get me on any small shows. And I say, well, what's a small show? You know, is 12,000 listeners small? Is 20,000 small? Is 30,000 small? And I said, you know, you don't land the big ones every day. There's a lot of small ones. I said, I tend not to go below those that have about 30,000 listeners. And if they balk on those, I say, well, wait a minute. Are you speaking somewhere tonight in front of 30,000 people?
Right.
Because I'm sorry, I don't see that on your schedule.
Yeah.
30,000 listeners want to hear you. You're going to turn that down? So,
right.
You know, people get sometimes too big for their britches. I saw recently someone whose book I love, a young guy from, I think he's from Princeton graduate, who was in business and wrote a book on consciousness. And he just was crazy to dig into it. And it's an area that I love, you know, What the Bleep was about that. So I really watch people like this and see how they do. And I've seen him on every show, big and small. And I thought, he's got a very wide wise publicist, because when I see someone promoted this well, basically covering all the bases on a number of different kinds of shows, even business shows, I said, that is a very smart publicist who he's working with. I don't know who he is working with, but whoever it is, they work a lot like I do.
That's amazing. Okay, that's really good. So that was a good answer. You know, I was noticing, I don't think I've ever heard anybody speak the way you speak, and I never really noted it so clearly as I did today, that you are incredibly articulate. You don't ever say or it just flows.
I think, well, you also are a great communicator, Jamie. You know that. And I think that that's one of your superpowers, and it's definitely one of my superpowers.
Wow.
Communication. Certain people are put on the earth to help make things more understandable for others and to be able to translate from one group to another, from one culture to another, from one message to a wider audience, to a general audience. Some of us have that gift, and that is something I've learned over time that is a gift. You can tell oftentimes people don't frame their messages well for a big audience. They're still too in-house. They're using too many in-house lingo terms. They think people care about the names of the levels of things that they set up. No one's going to remember that. You know, just
right.
It's simple. And oftentimes I'm trying to get people who are heady, complex thinkers to kind of break it down into simpler points that don't lessen what they're saying. They actually enhance it more because they're not closing off part of the population by being too wordy and too entangled in a certain way that things they think should be presented.
Right. You know, you're actually affirming something Jean told me, and because he was a lecturer and a preacher, you know, he taught at the University of the Vatican, which was the Gregorian University, and he lectured in Latin to huge stadiums of priests in training, and of course delivered sermons. And he said there's a rule when you're speaking to an audience live, the larger the audience, the more simple and basic your language needs to be. And I didn't really, he said it's absolutely, you have to talk as though you're speaking to a third grade or a fifth grade audience. And for whatever reason, I don't know why the larger audience would necessitate more simple languaging, but that's what he said. Does that make sense to you?
It is. That's what they encourage. Some of the top public speaking people say the same thing. And also, one little side note is that unless you've done 200 talks on stage, you're considered a beginner in the industry. And I would add the same for interviews. Unless you've done 200 interviews on the air, then you're a beginner. I'm a beginner right now, although I know so much, I probably am not coming across that way.
I think that you're coming across brilliantly.
Thank you, because this is the first interview I've ever done on my work. So.
Oh, I just can't even. When you listen to the interview, you're going to hear how wonderful you are and how clearly you're presenting your ideas.
You can see we have a mutual admiration society.
Oh, we love each other. It's so profound, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So,
you're the real
go
thing.
Ahead.
This is what I like. I've worked with so many people, and oftentimes their message isn't always congruent with who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I adore about you is that your message is congruent. You live your message.
Unfortunately, Mort.
Unfortunately.
I've got the soul stretch marks to prove it, right?
The soul.
Exactly.
I love it.
I know. I do live it, yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love working with people, but I especially love working with people that are congruent with their message. If they're being hypocritical and they're treating their employees badly,
yep.
You know, I don't like to be around those kind of people. And, you know, I'm like you. I'm getting bolder as I get older.
Yeah.
People know it now, too. I let the cards fall where they may. And
yeah.
One of the things you really helped me see this year is that things tend to work out better the more honest you are and just let people know. I've been a little bit more used to holding back, whereas you just let it rip. And you've emboldened me is what I've got to say.
Mm-hmm. And it's not that I'm not scared. I just do it.
Yes, you do.
Right. You got to be scared and take the leap anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just do it anyway. And
exactly.
A great example of that for me time and time again.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my gosh. You know what's so amazing? So we're talking about here, in essence, we're doing a distance interview, and the love vibration is coming through the airwaves. I feel it. My heart is full of so much love for you. So we are really demonstrating in a very authentic way that everything we're doing with each other is coming from that love vibration. And you can feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jean was right in bringing us together because
he was.
We didn't know it at the time, but we didn't realize this would be a lifelong friendship as well as a business relationship.
Oh, yeah.
That would be time from time to time, you know? And
right.
He knew that.
He said, I'm sending you your business husband. That's how he put it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You poor man.
You certainly have shown me every side of yourself.
You poor man. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So tell people how they can find you.
Yes, I am one of those people that doesn't even have a website. When you think that's a little odd, when I encourage people to have, you know, a robust platform so people can find them. So I really don't follow my own guidance there. In some ways, I'm kind of one of the best-kept secrets in the industry, and I've never done any marketing. I've always just been...
You're a traitor to the cause, Mort.
Yeah, I've just been fortunate, I should say, enough to just have continuous referrals. So
I don't call it luck. It's deserved, you know?
Well, thank
you. It's not luck.
So I haven't really done much. So I spoke to an expert yesterday just about this, and I said, you know, I probably should get my platform together now and all of that, but I don't have the time, and you know what people... She said, well, why don't you just focus on LinkedIn so people can find you easily? I said, well, you know, it happens. LinkedIn is the primary method that people do find me. So why don't I just enhance that a bit more? And she said, yeah, that's all you need. So LinkedIn is the best way to find me right now. And it's Pavel Michalowski, P-A-V-E-L. Michalowski is M-I-K-O-L-O-S-K-I. And that's how you find me.
Huh. Well, that's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, if anybody forgets, or you can just find, because your show will be permanently archived in perpetuity for eternity on my website, AskDrLove.com. You have a dedicated show page there.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'll direct people there.
Oh, absolutely. And then what we could do is we could even add your LinkedIn link to your show page.
Excellent.
Right? That's a really good idea. You could put me on the payroll, Mort.
There you go. Well, what other questions do you think people might have, or do you want to wrap it up?
Well, we're going to end in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to end by you just leaving everyone in the final 2 minutes with a word or a word of wisdom.
I've done a lot of personal development work myself. I've been kind of from my 20s onward, always was involved with some kind of training program or another, and actually went to a school of ancient wisdom with a great teacher named Ramtha. So I've been really working hard on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, you're kind of right, like a monk almost. And yet, I found that the greatest thing I've learned is the power of consciousness. That when you focus on a desired outcome and you see it as if it already was, and you can even do walking meditations to encourage that, which my teacher taught me, you become very powerful in your thinking and what you attract. And it's a component that is beyond the linear. That if you're just operating on a linear basis, just, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, then it will lack a certain buoyancy and love. But when you come from a place that's organic, focus on the future as if it already was. See it as already done. Then things are attracted to you. People come to you. Opportunities come to you. You're not having to search so hard and look for them everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So this is the law of attraction and the power of intention, which now we're seeing more and more in the quantum physics world. There's science behind our thoughts having wings. So I love what you said. See your mission and your message as already out there, as a done deal. And I'm glad that you're a done deal in my life, Mort, and that we're just together for the long ride. I have loved having you, Pavel. It's been a wonderful interview.
This has been a painless and wonderful experience. I just don't do these interviews, so thank you.
I'm glad that I helped to enjoy the experience because I enjoyed being with you. So I want to remind everyone to set a place at the holiday table for your loved ones in spirit because they want to share the holidays with you. These are tough times for people who are bereaved. Let them join you at the holiday table. Join in the rituals and the tree trimming and talk to them and bring them back. Don't let them go. They want to be with you. See you next time on Love Never Dies Radio.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.